You're listening to The Meadows Podcast on the Porch with Bob Arnold and friends. Our current series is called The Great Sadness, where we hear people's stories about loss, pain, and suffering, and how God works through such tragedies. We're currently offering a four-week series on the Enneagram, a spiritual roadmap to discover your true self, taught by Bev Gorman. Coming up is our Spiritual Development Forum, a four-week workshop series to develop a deeper divine intimacy. Both series are taking place at Grace Fellowship Church in Timonium, Maryland, on Wednesday evenings. To sign up for upcoming events and learn more about The Meadow, go to www.meadow4.org.
Well, we're back on the porch and doing the Meadows podcast with The Great Sadness. And, you know, again, this week is a good friend of mine, Scott. And if you heard last week's podcast, just to know just the powerful experience that he went through with the death of his wife. And so, Scott, let's talk a little bit about what happened with the death. And then I want you to really especially talk about what has happened in the last couple of months in your pilgrimage.
So, as we talked about last week, my dominant memories of those 10 months with my girls and with Peggy were of great richness, and so much of that flowed because of Peggy's ability to embrace with hope and acceptance the life that was coming, and not clinging to the life that she had shared with us. As I mentioned last time, we had this wonderful nurse from Gilcrest, and just as she had promised us, she had a pretty good sense of when it was time to call the girls to come home for good. And this ended up being 3 weeks. We had 3 weeks together before Peggy died, and she had started to sleep a lot, very weak. But as soon as the girls came, oh my gosh, like, she rallied, the tears of joy. It's like, honey, you brought the girls home. Because she didn't know they were coming. So it was a great surprise, too. And we just had a very special couple weeks before Peggy seriously weakened. And we talked about, Peggy's love for daily communions we're able to do with the girls. And then we even had a good friend who's a priest come to the house just 4 nights before she passed away. And I'm thinking, no, she's not going to be able to participate. She's too weak. But she rallied for that. And just a really, really sweet time. And then the following night, she then had the sense. And so again, we had so many gifts that this wasn't a surprise. We were able to prepare and to experience. And so she knew that it was time to share the last things that she wanted to share with me and the girls. And then she still had enough strength to call a dear friend in Indonesia, and then to call her brother, and then to call another dear friend who went way back to college in Mississippi. And then that was sort of that last spurt. And with Gilcrest's help, we were able to manage the dosing of her morphine through the weekend. And when she did start to have the more extreme pain, we're able to quickly cut that. And we camped out in the family room with her. No one left, and for the next day and a half, just enjoying her last moments. So, very much felt carried through all that, and then had the gift of the girls being able to stay with me for 3 more weeks, so through the funeral, through Christmas. So really, for me, the really more painful experience with grief began once the girls left. Yeah. And interesting enough, here we are on the porch. I went to the meadow. Yeah. Just to be alone with God, and that turned out to be one of the most painful couple of days that I think I've ever experienced, because just the deep sense of her absence and the longing for God to physically embrace me, and so crying out in that sense of void and that sense of absence and in the silence.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what you're saying in a lot of ways is the deep sadness, you know. I've just seen so many funerals and people are very happy. They're really focused on their loved one going to another place and going to heaven, and it's going to be wonderful for them. But it isn't long after that, then the deep sadness begins entering your life. And so I think in some ways when somebody dies, especially, you know, your thing happened so quick, there wasn't much time to process the grief. If someone has 3 to 5 years, it's different. But when it happened and it happened, everything happened quick. You didn't really have time. And then all of a sudden when everything shut down, things opened up, you know?
Yes, and then I've also heard, Bob, people talk about even when you know it's coming, you start to grieve.
Right.
But that doesn't replace the grief that comes after they're gone.
Yeah.
So there's a double grief or two seasons of grief. And so that first year... Yeah. I had to keep choosing to plan things to look forward to. Yeah. Because it was suddenly, not only was Peggy not there, here now I'm in the house by myself, and my sleep wasn't entirely off. I mean, I was waking up at 2 a.m. and I could only make myself go back to sleep for a couple hours. So then I'm wide awake at 4 a.m. Yeah. And so spent many of those mornings, I had extended time before anybody else like is moving around the neighborhood or whatever, just to feel the loss and to a lot of tears, a lot of crying out to God. And there was a sweetness in that, a deep intimacy, but it was a deep intimacy in sadness. It was in sorrow. It was...
Yeah. You know, it's like John of the Cross says to us that, you know, I believe there was a deep presence of God, what you're experiencing then. But what he says is God comes to us in ways that are very unfamiliar. And I think a lot of times, you know, what's known as the dark night of the soul, there is this very unfamiliar presence of God. And it's, I wouldn't even try to begin to explain what it means, but it's there.
An example of that was when I did go to the meadow, to the farm, after two very, very painful days, I went for a walk in the morning down the meadow drive, and it was then that God quietly reminded me of a character in C.S. Lewis's science fiction trilogy who, through great pain, came to a place of great intimacy. But through the pain, he experienced a wound, and it became clear that the wound was never going to be totally healed. Yep. But with the wound, through the wound, he moved to this whole other level of intimacy. And just being reminded of that image helped me begin to accept the wound that, in some sense, I think I will always have.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think a saying that really came clear to me in the midst of my sadness was, you know, through our wounds and by his wounds are we healed. Mm. And so there is this woundedness of Christ that enters into our wounds. But both of those wounds are the healing agent in our lives. Well, Scott, you know, let's talk a little bit about what you've been involved this summer. I think it's a very significant and very, you know, we had breakfast together, and when he was telling me about this, it just, it's pretty an amazing journey that he went on. So I've
had a pretty amazing summer that I didn't anticipate and I didn't plan. So that first year was difficult to get through. In many ways, the second year was harder than the first. I wasn't really prepared for that. And then here this past spring, it's been 3 years, and I entered into another season of just sadness and really missing Peggy. I think in part it was triggered by a recurring dream that I started to have, in which Peggy was just very much her vibrant, alive, real self. And it was so vivid to me. One morning I woke up and I forgot that she was gone. Mm-hmm. And so that hurt to feel that again, to come to the realization again. It's like, oh no, she's not here. She's very much alive, but she's not here. So by God's grace, I had been made aware that it would be good for me to go on a personal retreat. I hadn't really done anything alone since that initial time at the Meadow, right after she died. So I chose to go to Scotland and England to rewalk this Celtic pilgrimage way. It's called St. Cuthbert's Way, that starts in one of the old abbey towns in Scotland and works its way to the English coast with the Celtic monastery Lindisfarne just off the coast. And so I had an amazing, wonderful 5 days by myself in the beauty of the Scottish and English countryside, a lot of silence, a lot of solitude, just incredible expressions of God's creativity and wonder and beauty through the settings that I was in, and also through all the creatures. It was amazing how many different animals and various types of birds and things that I encountered on the way. And God was gently speaking to me about being patient with myself, being willing to go slow with the journey, not criticizing myself, that I still had these elements of sadness and longing and missing Peggy. And in what I had arranged for at the end of this pilgrimage was to join the Northumbria community, who are the ones who created a wonderful liturgical guide to prayer called Celtic Daily Prayer, which I've been using for 10 years. Well, it just turns out that the retreat that they were having the weekend I joined them was a retreat on loss and how God meets us in loss and heals us through loss. Now, if you had asked me when I originally signed up for this retreat if I needed that, I would have told you no. But then I entered into that new season of sadness in the spring, and like, oh my gosh, like I'm not done yet. Like this is still relevant to me.
Yeah. Well, Scott has some very, very insightful things to share about what went on during that retreat and the things that he learned. And so over the next 2 weeks, we're going to take some time and let Scott share some of those insights that he learned on this progressive stages of grief. So we're looking forward to seeing you in the next 2 weeks. Thank you.
Tune in next week to hear the rest of Scott's story.